Welcome, my name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined me for today's program. There's such a need in the world today for those who will love children, especially children at risk, children that are maybe hard to place into adoptive families. You know, God's heart is for the little ones, and there's little ones right now, maybe infants or toddlers, or maybe even preteens and adolescents that are crying out for someone to love them. It's my privilege today to have our guests with us, Randy Bullender, and your wife is going to join us later in the program. But I met you just a little while ago in Kansas City. We were having coffee in a coffee shop, and I heard the testimony of you and your wife and what you're doing for children at risk, helping birth an adoption revolution, and I was brought to tears. And so it's such a privilege to have you here, because I want you to tell the whole wide world about the heartbeat of God. And earlier we were just sharing, and you were, you know, talking about different case studies and situations that have happened, and you mentioned about a little boy who was burned and left in the hospital. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, we were church planting and had a member in the hospital, and as we would go visit, we would see the little boy in the room next to our church member wasn't getting any visitors. And so we would kind of walk over and look. And as peeking in, we discovered he was a three-year-old boy who had been horribly burned in a car fire. His ears were burned off. His nose was gone. His lips were gone. His hands had been amputated. And he was just a little stump of a guy. He looked like a piece of charcoal, just to be quite graphic. And we noticed that no one would ever go in and visit him. We started asking the nurses what his situation was. And they told us that his parents brought him to the burn center after the accident and just were not able to cope with the idea of this was their son. And so we took him under our wing and we started going to visit him several times a week, just going and sitting and reading books to him.
So you're telling me that these parents, after the accident, when they saw the damage, his little hands gone, his nose burned out, his lips burned off, his ears gone, that they just left him there.
They brought him to the hospital, they checked him in, and they never came back. And, you know, people bring all kinds of baggage with them into their situations, and I never met them, and I don't know what their situation was. But I wasn't responsible for them, but here was this little boy who fell in our lap. And so we started visiting him, and even after visiting him multiple times, I wasn't aware how differently we look at severely disabled or disfigured children at times. And I was sitting reading him a book, and as I was reading to him, I just was overwhelmed with the emotion for him, and I stopped for a moment to just look at him. And when I stopped, he started to grunt and shake his little stumps. He wanted me to continue to read the book, and a switch flipped in me when I realized that there's as much life and little boy in this little human body as there is in my own sons that were running and playing and laughing. And I had to repent for not being aware of the fullness of the human spirit that existed, even in a case when communication wasn't possible. And it changed the way we looked at kids, mm-hmm. Particularly disadvantaged kids.
Randy, here's this little boy. I mean, the trauma of the accident would have been one thing, mm-hmm. but everyone needs love, and lots of it. So there he was, dumped into a hospital and had caregivers within the hospital, but no one probably to hold him or tell him how special he was or to celebrate his mm-hmm. life. His parents had abandoned him, but inside he still had that longing for life. He loved the stories that you were reading to him. He was responding. He's a real little boy inside that burnt body. Just to interject just for a moment, my husband and I used to go down to Mexico to minister on a regular basis, and on our way down, we'd always stop by this hospital with severely disabled individuals. Some of them were children, some of them were adults. And we were taught to sit at their bedside, and some of them were so disabled. I remember one in particular was literally just a head, you know, like with not even proper eyes carved out in that. But the way that we were trained was say, inside, no matter what it looks outward, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if there's breath, there's a little life inside there that is just longing for love, so love them, you know. And it was such a privilege to be able to just love these. And some of them were very grotesque looking outwardly, but inside was this treasure of life that God had created. And there you were with this little boy, and I could just see his little stumps, you know, clapping and just wanting more. And
you,
so precious.
To look at him and to assume that his greatest needs were physical,
right,
was actually wrong.
Right.
His physical needs were being met. His greatest needs were the yearnings of his heart to love and to be loved and interaction with humans that would care for him and commit to him. And so we lost track of him. We came one day, and he was gone. And the nursing staff couldn't tell us where he went. They weren't allowed by law. And so, you know, you do these things, you minister, and you go, what was that about, Lord? Where did they go? Several years later, I was interviewing a couple on a Sunday morning who had an adoption ministry in our church. And they were telling us about the different families they've been able to reach and different kids they've been able to minister to. And they start telling us about a little boy who had been in a car accident and horribly burned and abandoned at the hospital. And he had been adopted into a family, lived on a ranch in Wisconsin. And they had slides on the big screen of this little guy with prosthetics and running and playing with the horses. And people in our congregation began to weep because many of them had invested hours into this little boy. And they did never know what happened. And I couldn't help but be reminded of something I heard Garrison Keillor say one time, is nothing ever done for a child is wasted. And none of those hours spent reading books or none of those hours just sitting in the dark with him were ever wasted. It came to fruition in him knowing love and being loved and being placed in a family.
Wow. It's just so God. Forgive me for being so emotional, but every time I've talked to you and visited with you, I just get the same compassion, or I think it's a connection with the heartbeat of God. You had mentioned earlier also about in the foster care system, and we know that there's a lot of really good foster care parents who are doing an amazing job, and it is really a thankless job, actually,
really,
because
is.
There's so much work involved 24/7, and of course not much compensation, and there's some amazing ministry going on from people, God's people, who have dedicated their life to serving children in that way. But on the other side, there are some very selfish people and people who do not care for the children, and you've mentioned that it's actually a harvest field for the sex trade.
It
also,
really
can
is.
You share a little bit about that?
It really is. Whenever you will find groups of children, you will find predators and people of God, and it is a war zone as we compete for influence over those children. And recently, we read a study that said 90% of the women in prostitution grew up through the foster care system. And you can't draw a direct connection and say it creates prostitutes, but it fails to meet the yearnings of the heart that stop girls from looking for love in that way.
Right.
And so system is fundamentally broken because it was never meant to be run by the government. We've entrusted the most precious thing to God, human beings, their souls, their hearts, their minds. We've entrusted that to an entity that can't pave our roads very well. And we think they're going to do better with our children than they do with our roads and our water programs. And it was something that was meant to be picked up by the church. The
right.
church allowed them to pick it up, and we're seeing the ramifications of that now. I thank the Lord for Christian people who've
wow.
stepped up and got involved in foster care.
Randy, I remember being on the streets of an inner city one time and taking a girl. She was a prostitute. I took her out for a coffee and a meal. And I was asking her about her life. And she had been raised from one foster family to another, booted around the system for, you know, for lots of different reasons. But finally, as a young teenage girl, she said, I've had enough. And she ran away and ran right into prostitution and drug addiction. And all she was looking for was love. Mm-hmm. Like, love. She just wanted to be loved. She wanted to mean something to someone. She wanted someone to recognize her worth and her value. And that's the need of every child, and it's the right of every child. It's what God intended us to have. He created us for love's sake. Now, you started a foundation, and so you help people actually adopt children, and some of them are unwanted, and some of them are rescuing people from having abortions and saying, we can put your child in a home instead. And it's called the Zoe Foundation.
Yes.
And share a little bit about that and how people, because we can donate into that. Like, I might not be able to adopt a child right now or take in a foster child, but maybe I can donate into Zoe and help other people adopt or even help them with their needs, you know, maybe do some practical things.
It really is impractical to say every family in the church ought to adopt. But there are things people can do. They can adopt an adoptive family. We have several couples who've come around to us and said, we're not going to adopt, but we would love to help you. And they run errands and pick kids up from school.
You've got seven children.
We have seven children.
And three of them have been adopted into
your home. We have four children, three and under. And so it's a busy house at all the time.
And we have twins.
We have twins that are 18 months old and a nine-month old.
Yeah.
So without people coming around us, it doesn't work. But also financially, if people can sow into that, we turn around and issue small grants to help people over the hump. And we really coach them to raise as much of the money as they can. And last year we discovered that we were able to coach more people to raise their own money than we actually donated directly to, because they just need a little confidence. They're not, they don't think they can do it. And when they hear a few stories, we give them some tips. Oftentimes families are able to raise their own funds.
Right. And God loves providing for this need.
He really does. God loves this.
I feel his heart so strong on this. And there's grace and there's love. There's more than enough of everything that is needed to help these families. We're going to meet Randy's wife in a few moments, and she's going to share the testimony of their journey and how God led them to bring children into their home, to raise them as their very own, to give these little ones an identity, a love identity, a life identity. But as we take this break, I just want you to pray about what you can do right now. You can start by praying and maybe giving, maybe even consider adopting or become part of the foster care system and take children into your home. Yes, it'll be a sacrifice, but one that'll have eternal blessing and reward. So we'll be right back.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
Mercy, our first email.
What does it say?
Having a hard time with all this new media? Attend the New Media Fest in Tempe, Arizona this summer.
Well, let's sign up.
How?
Go to christianfilmfest.org.
Are you interested in IT or acting, producing, directing, performing? Why don't you join us for the time of your life this summer, August 23rd to 28th, at the New Media Fest in Phoenix, Arizona. Be there.
Hey, I want to invite you to the New Media Fest this summer. Creative professionals from around the world are coming to connect and contribute media with a kingdom heart. Register today.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about launching an adoption revolution that's going to rescue children and give them loving homes to live in. And God's probably recruiting you. But with me, I have Randy's wife, Kelsey. It's wonderful to have you here, Kelsey. And as I told Randy earlier, you guys are my heroes. I just love what you've done. And I can so feel the heart of God in and through what you're doing, and I feel this pleasure towards you. One of the things that you and Randy shared with me when I was in Kansas City with you, you said it's got to be more than just pro-life. It has to be pro-child. And I was wondering if you could share with us a little bit about what that means and your own journey in that too.
Yeah, well, You know, we spent a good deal of time in Washington, D.C. at the Supreme Court praying for the ending of abortion and always thought of ourselves as pro-life. And the Lord began to challenge us as we stood on the steps of that court with the life tape on our mouth praying for these babies. He said, would you actually take your intercession an extra step? Would you extend it to a tangible act of spiritual warfare and take one of these babies into your home? And it occurred to us, wow, we sometimes as the church, we don't want these babies any more than pro-choice people do,
right.
You know, or others.
And we can talk it.
Right, we
say,
can
oh,
talk
we think
it.
This is wrong, but what are we doing proactively?
Exactly.
Right.
And so it just, you know, the Lord just showed us to be pro-life, you have to be pro-child. You have to want life for that child from the beginning until the end.
And you have someone actually right now through your adoption agency. I think that they were actually in an abortion clinic.
That's right.
They were ready to have their abortion, and finally the conviction of the Lord came upon them, and they said, I just can't do this. I can't kill my child.
That's right.
And they were put in touch with you folks, and now they're going to be giving birth to a child that a family that wants that child and longs for that child is going to raise. So
absolutely.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting what the Lord is doing.
Yeah. So what happened with you? Because you already had three children.
We did. We did.
Three boys.
Yeah.
And then?
Well, the Lord just, you know, like I said, he just convicted us and said, would you take this a step further? Would you adopt one of these babies as an act of prophecy, really? And this was not a romantic notion to us,
right.
Because we had three, they were eating in themselves, that we didn't have
yeah,
to change
no more diapers
anymore. I was really a free woman, and yet the Lord wanted us to do this. So we went on this journey of exploration. We found out that there are babies here in the United States that have to be placed every day, and oftentimes there's no one to take them, and so they end up in the system and they get lost in the system. And so we started to explore, found out it's very expensive to adopt, $25,000 to $30,000, and we're missionaries, and so we didn't have any money at that point, but felt like the Lord said, would you work the system in order to change the system?
Wow.
And it reminded me of a man named Elihu Embry. He was a slave owner in East Tennessee in the 1800s. And the Lord convicted him to free all of his slaves. He was a very wealthy man. And to do that, he had to spend his entire fortune to free his own slaves. And I felt like the Lord said, will you spend everything you have to free these little ones? Will you do something that cost you really your whole life to free these little ones? And so we started on this journey. We filled out paperwork. Like I said, we had no money, and yet we knew it was going to happen fast.
You just stepped forward and took one step at a time.
We did. We got our home study ready. We were finally put in touch with an agency who called us out of the blue one day and said, there's been a little girl who was born in Las Vegas. She's biracial. She's drug exposed. No one really has claimed her, and
her mother was a crack addict.
Her mother was a crack addict. She was a dancer in Vegas. It's a miracle that she was even carried to term, this little baby girl. And the social worker said to my husband, listen, buddy, if you want her, just come get her. And of course, our hearts exploded with a yes inside. And but we knew when we got off the plane, we'd have to hand these people a check for $25,000, and we were $7,000 short. So we got in the car, headed to the airport in faith. Randy sent a quick email to some friends saying, we're going, we're short on money. By the time we got to the airport, there was a phone call from a woman, and she said, Randy, we watched Patricia King's show last night on Revival in Las Vegas, and then we got your email. And we want to sow into Revival in Las Vegas, and we want to sow into your family. We're sending you the $7,000 you need. And lo and behold, the Lord paid for it all. We got there and had the money. And, you know, the last time we had even thought about Las Vegas was years earlier. My parents had died, And they were penniless, really, except for a very small life insurance policy that they left to a family member who was homeless and very troubled. He immediately took the money to Vegas and squandered it all. And as we're flying in to the city to rescue our daughter, the Lord spoke to us both and said, "Your inheritance was squandered in this city, but I'm sending you back with real money to buy back an inheritance for Jesus."
And her name is Zoe.
Her name is Zoe.
Which is God's life.
Yes, God's life. And she is God's life, for sure.
And Randy was saying that he was looking at her the other night on the couch. She was all curled up and comfy and sleeping. And he thought, I wonder what couch she would be on if we didn't rescue her. And there she was all snuggled up into this wonderful family.
Yeah.
Well, after you brought Zoe home, then you got another call not long after.
We did. 2 years later, we started receiving these phone calls about these emergency placements, babies that were abandoned or special needs, drug babies. And they needed to be placed right away, and we weren't ready. We didn't have our home study updated, and so we just felt like the Lord led us to get a home study updated. We rushed it through. The social worker emailed it one night. 7 o'clock one night, we get the home study. 7 o'clock the next morning, we get the word that there are twins. Twin baby girls in Florida who are hours away from being placed in the foster care system because there's no one to adopt them. So we said yes, and we spent. We did. We spent the whole morning getting in touch with attorneys and social workers and playing the game. But we got it done. And I remember the moment we were at a coffee shop, and it just turned. You know, we were doing all the details, but really it was when we started to pray and intercede, and we took authority and said, "Those babies are yours, Jesus, and we're going to take them in."
Jesus is pro-child.
He is pro-child.
You are pro-child. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So you brought home the twins.
The next
now
day.
Now you've got, at that point, you had six children to
care
for.
Six.
And then what happened?
8 weeks after we brought the twins home, we had this surprise realization that I was pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
And so 9 months later, we had little baby Piper.
Oh.
And, yeah.
This is so amazing. And then you started the Zoe Foundation, which is an adoption agency.
The Zoe Foundation is a resource organization.
So for adoptions, right?
For adoption. Yeah. And when we have Hannah's Dream, that's an adoption
Hannah's
agency.
Hannah's Dream is the adoption agency. Zoe is the foundation. We want to encourage people to get in touch with you and sow into that, because that's what's going to help people get children, is if the funding is there. And you might not be led to bring in a child, adopt a child into your home, but you can do something. You can maybe donate all the legal aid, or even to help support on a monthly basis, or the education of a child, because it's a whole lifetime commitment.
Yeah.
I know, Kelsey, that we've been praying as a team as to what to do, because number one, we want to be used with our gift of communication to bring awareness to see if we could get children placed, but also praying about, you know, setting up foster homes within our community where we as a team can pour into children's lives and raise them
in
love, because so many of them are just like, they're so precious, each and every one of them to God is so precious, but if they're not rescued and if they're not loved or celebrated, who knows what's going to happen with them.
That's right. Wow.
That's right. Well, we so appreciate what you're doing and the way that you have just, I mean, the sacrifice is obvious. I mean, anyone who's raised even one child will know that what you're doing takes a lot of grace. So from your heart, what would you say to people today that want to do something?
I would just say, get your home study ready. Whether it's through foster care or a private agency, get your home study ready. Be ready, because these babies, these children are out there and they need families. And like you said, if the church doesn't wake up and begin to be proactive in this area, there are all kinds of people who will. I mean, there's the human traffickers, there's the gay community, there's others that will. And yet the Lord wants the church to wake up. He wants these children for his inheritance.
Heidi Baker is a very good friend of mine, and I love her so much. And she looks after thousands of orphans.
Yeah,
or,
she
well,
does.
They're not orphans any longer.
That's right.
Because they are now her children.
Right.
And she just keeps taking them in, and God keeps giving the grace.
Yeah, he does.
And there is a special blessing from God that comes upon you when you sacrifice like that. And I don't think that we can even imagine what it does to the heart of God himself. Can you imagine being God for a moment and looking down and hearing the little yearnings of each little child, whether they are still in the womb or whether they've been born and left in a hospital or in a foster care system for whatever reason? Can you imagine being God and hearing each and every one of their cries and longings for love? And then he looks at his body and says, "Will you help me? Will you help me love them?" You can start by praying for the unwanted children, the children that don't have a voice to cry out for themselves. You can start with that, but ask the Lord if he'll give you grace to even move further. You know, I'm in the second half of life. I've already raised my children. I have grandchildren, but you know what? What a great age to start over and raise some children that never had a chance. You know, what a great thing for our generation to take up. We've been known as kind of a selfish generation. We just live for ourselves. But what if we finish strong and commit the rest of our life to giving these little ones a chance in the love of God to fulfill their destinies? Can I have you pray about that? And let's win this war together. Yes, we're pro-life, but we're pro-child. God bless you.
The Zoe Foundation is set up to give small grants to families to help them over the hump. We coach them on how to raise most of their funds, and when they get close, but they're not quite there yet, and the baby's being born and they're feeling rushed, we issue benevolence grants of between $1,500 and $3,000 after they have been cleared by our committee and if there are funds available. If you'd like to help us bless those families and help those often that have raised large chunks themselves, you can do that online at thezoefoundation.com. There's a button there you can click. You can help us, and those funds will go to place children in pre-screened Christian homes across the U.S.
Hey guys, I can't wait to attend the New Media Fest.
It's a Christian film festival for people like you and me
who want to create media for the kingdom of God.
They're going to have workshops on everything
from internet media
to directing,
acting,
and producing.
Check it out.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I just signed up for the New Media Fest this summer. There's going to be movies, networking, workshops, all the latest in cool technology. You guys will so want to come. Text me when you get there. We'll meet up.